Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Yangas Over Mir Thursday morning class. Somebody requested last time from me that I use the, well, it's not even here, so actually forget that. She asked that I use the microphone. I see that it's not here. So she was sitting in the back. So if you can't hear, today I don't even have that option. So if you can't hear, just move forward, okay? Hani, could you hear in the back? Hani, could you hear me? Can you hear? You don't need to move forward. I'm saying that if you're sitting towards the back and you can't hear, please move forward because there's plenty of seats over here. Okay, I was asked to dedicate this shiur, Lilui Nishmas. Bracha? Does this say bracha? Where is she? Bracha? Bracha Bas Yishayahu. I should have an aliyah and a shaman, the schus of these divrei Torah. The yurt site is Yud Kislev. So we hope that the neshama will have an aliyah in the schus of the Torah that we will share today. I'm going to talk about something very important. Everything in Torah is very important. And the point of departure will be a phrase in this week's parsha. So if you could please open up to Perek Choftes, chapter 29, verse 1. Okay, in the beginning of the Seder, what happens is Yaakov Avinu is going on his way. He's going from Be'er Sheva, Vayele Charana, Vayifka B'makom, Vayalan Shem, Kiva HaShemesh, He has a famous dream. God makes him three promises: the promise of Eretz Yisrael, the promise of children, and the promise of Shmira. Hashem will always be with him, and he will guard him. He will return him to this land. When Yaakov wakes up from this amazing dream, so he starts to journey, and he comes to he's going to the east. Haran is the land of the east, so he's leaving Be'er Sheva, which is in the south, going to the east. So let's begin in Perek Choftes, Pasuk Aleph, please. Okay, Choftes Aleph. Vayisa Yaakov Ragla, Vayelich Arza B'nei Kedem. Yaakov lifted his feet from Vayisa. After the dream, he had like an aliyah. Vayelich Arza B'nei Kedem. And he went to the land of the easterners. Vayar Vihine Be'er Basada. He sees there's a well in the field. The well is a very important meeting place in biblical times. There were two major places of meeting in the town in biblical times that you see from different sources in Tanakh. One is the Sha'ar Ha'ir, the gates of the city, where the prominent people sat and from which everyone entered and exited. And the other one was the Be'er. These are the two main meeting places. It makes sense. The Sha'ar is where the prominent people and the judges and where people came in and out of the city. And the Be'er is everyone needed water. It wasn't like everyone had to be by the Be'er. The people needed it. You need it for washing, for cooking, for drinking, and for animals. So these are the two main places in ancient times where people would meet by this city, important spot. So he sees this well in this field, and there are three flocks there. They're hanging out by the Be'er because from there they would drink. But there's this very big rock on top of the Be'er. So when all the flocks would gather, then the shepherds would work together. They would together remove the rock from the mouth of the Be'er. They give their flocks to drink, and then they return the rock to the mouth of the well. So Yaakov says to them, Achai me'ayin atem, my brothers, from where are you? Vayomu mecharan anachnu. So they say, we're from Haran. Now this is exactly what he's looking for. He wants to get to his uncle Lavan, who's from Haran. Vayomer lehem, and he says, Hayadatem es Lavan ben Nachar. So he says, oh, do you know Lavan ben Nachar? So they say, yeah, we do know him. So he's really, by the way, not ben Nachar, it's ben Besuel, but a grandson, Harei b'nei banim kibanim, because Avram's brother is Nachar. Nachar and Milcah have Besuel, who have Lavan, Rivka, and now we're talking about Lavan's daughters, who are going to be the, and Rivka, of course, has Yitzchak and Esav, Yaakov and Esav. So do you know Lavan ben Nachar? So they say, we know him. So he says, so how is he doing? So they say, he's doing well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming at that exact time with the flocks. Here comes his Bashir. So he says to them, you know, the day is still young. It's not time for gathering the sheep. Why don't you just give your sheep to drink and then go shepherd? So he's giving them some musa. You're not doing your job so well. Why, you know, loitering around here? Why are you just being loiterers? You should be giving your flocks to drink and then you should be going out into the field. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think of this every single year. I may have told you before, there's no microphone. So if you can hear from the back, sit closer. It's not here today. So just move closer. We're friends. You could come closer. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, why did they listen to him? He just came to town. He doesn't know anything about Minhag HaMakom. He's criticizing them. And they answer him. They're going to say, the rock is too heavy, so everyone comes. They should just say, get out of here. Who do you think you are? Because Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, says, how does he begin the conversation with them? Pasuk Dalet, the word Achai. It's just a side point. It's not the topic of today's shiur at all. But I think about it every single year by these parshios. He begins with a term of endearment and kindness, not criticism and harshness. And therefore, they're willing to listen to him. It's such a powerful Musar Haskel about interpersonal communication. Okay, that's really just a side point. It's not the topic of today's shiur at all, but it's a very, very important nekuda. Okay, so they say, Pasuk Ches, very nice. Well, we can't. When all the flocks gather together, then all the shepherds together, Pasuk Ches, will roll off the stone from the mouth of the well, then we'll give the flocks to drink. And he's still speaking to them, and Rachel is coming with the sheep that are to her father because she is a shepherdess. And when Yaakov sees Rachel, his cousin, and the flocks, he rolls off the stone from the top of the be'er. He gives the flocks of love and to drink, and Yaakov gives Rachel a kiss, and he cries, different reasons he doesn't have matanas for, he's not going to be buried with her, okay. And Yaakov tells Rachel his relationship, and she runs home, and she tells everybody what happened, she tells her father, and they welcome him in, okay. So Lavan says, Tim Pasuk Yudalad, you are my bone and my flesh, you know, you could stay here. Why don't you stay here? So Laban says to Yaakov, are you going to work for free? What is your wages? So Pasuk Tezayin, Ula Laban Shtei Banos. Laban had two sons, two daughters. Shem HaGadola Leah, V'Shem HaKatana Rachel. Laban has two daughters. The name of the older one is Leah, and the name of the younger one is Rachel. Pasuk Yudzayin, the Eini Leah Rakos, the eyes of Leah are tender. V'Rachel Haisa Yifas Torah V'Yifas Marah. Same thing we're told about Yosef by Eishes Potiphar. So Leah's eyes are tender. Rashi says she was crying so much because she didn't want to be Esav's wife. And Rachel is very beautiful, a beautiful form and a beautiful appearance. That's what it tells us. By Yosef, also by Eishes Potiphar. Oh my gosh, thank you. It's working?
You have to put in the video.
Thank you so much. Wait, what do I have to do? Sign in? But wait, if I want to just not sign in, let's say I just want to join a shiur, join meeting. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. So not like me. Thank you. Give me 2 minutes to see if I could just get in, okay, please. Does anyone know the meeting ID and how I do it? Hashem, help me. Does anyone know the meeting ID? How do I find the meeting ID on this?
I have it. Here.
Could someone come show me what it is? Please. We become so dependent on technology. Where are you? Oh my gosh. So yes, thank you. 980-3243-6809. Join. Oh, 1 second. Israel, Vladimir, 2021. Oh my gosh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Got it.
Recording in progress.
Thank you all.
Do you need help?
1 second, let me just see. The only thing I need to do is claim host. I have the email from Rabbi Schechter. I claim the host every week. Here we go. How do I claim host on here? Host participants, how do I claim host? I know how to do it on my computer. More. Sign in as host. It would probably be the Angels of Woodmere email address. I have the host key. Do you know the Angels of Woodmere email address?
I don't know which one they would have had in there.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do? Is everyone muted? I'm not going to claim host, but you guys all need to mute yourselves. Oh, I'm muted. I don't want to be muted. Unmute.
Yeah,
I'm not bothering with claiming the host. You all need to just make sure you're muted. sign in as host. Oh, no, that's not what I want to do. Look what I want to do. Wait, here we go. Enter, claim host. Okay, thank you, Hashem. 260720. I'm the host. Participants, mute all. Okay, Baruch. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's go. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, for those who just joined the Zoom, we're up to chapter 29. 29:16. Chof tes zayin. Okay, chof tes zayin. Ula Lavan shtei banos, and Lavan had two daughters. Shem ha-gadola Leah, v'shem ha-ktana Rachel. The name of the elder one was Leah, and the name of the younger one was Rachel. The eni Leah rakos, Leah's eyes were tender, Rashi says, because she didn't want to marry Esau. V'Rachel haisha yifas Torah v'yifas Mara. And Rachel was a beautiful form and beautiful appearance. Now, who does Yaakov love? The one who he kissed at the well, the one who he met by the well. Vayahav Yaakov es Rachel. Yaakov loved Rachel. Vayomer, and he said, Aevdecha sheva shanim b'Rachel bitcha k'tara. Lavan says, what's your wages? Remember verse 15, he says, Hagidali, please tell me, ma maskur techa, what are your wages? So Yaakov says, I will work for you for 7 years for Rachel, your daughter. Vayomer Lavan, I just thought, I never thought before, so I don't have an answer. Why did Yaakov suggest 7 years? You understand? I don't have an answer. I just have it now as I'm speaking. It's not Lavan who suggests 7 years. Lavan says, in Pasuk Tesvav, Hagidali, please tell me, Ma Maskur Techa, what are your wages? Then the Pasuk tells us that there are these two daughters. It tells us which one Yaakov loves. And then Yaakov suggests, Evdecha Sheva Shanim B'Rachel Bitcha Ktana. I don't know, I'm asking a question I never thought of in my life. What? Yaakov is 84 when he marries Leah. So 84 minus 7 is 77. Why would he suggest 7 years? What? I forget.
Maybe she wasn't old enough.
Maybe she wasn't old enough? Oh, okay. We'd have to look up the Mefarshim. It's just an interesting thing. Okay, let's go. So he suggests 7 years. So of course, Lavan says, perfect. 7 years of free work? Awesome. Vayomer Lavan, and Lavan says, Tov titi osa lach mititi osa l'ishachar. Okay, fine. You know, you're a good shilach. Better for me to give her to you than to give her to somebody else. Shva imadi, you could stay and work. But I would like, maybe she was too young. I definitely want to look up what the Mefarshim say, but I know, you don't think that's right, because the thing is, Rivka was 3, right? So I don't know. I don't have an answer. We're not going to spend time. I'm not going to hear you, yeah? You have to come closer. No, wait till you get closer.
Okay. I recently heard that when Yitzchak tells Yaakov to go to get to marry, that's when Lavan first has daughters, because the tzaddik makes it happen. Lavan only had sons, and then when Yitzchak said you should go to find a wife by Lavan, that's when he then had daughters, and that is why Yaakov went to study 14 years in Chamber Eber, because the girls had to grow up.
No, because Rashi says later he only had daughters, because why would Rachel be the shepherdess if he had sons?
Maybe he had nobody. And so
I don't know. Okay, it could be. Maybe she's too young. Okay, Baruch Hashem, thank you for coming close. We have to look it up. It's a very interesting kasha that I never thought of. But Lamaisa, let's keep going. He's going to work for 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. And Lavan says, good. Pasuchah. Vayavod Yaakov b'Rachel sheva shanim. Yaakov worked for Rachel for 7 years. Vayu be'enav, and it was in his eyes. Kiyamim achadim, like a few days, b'ahavaso oso. Okay? Because he loved her so much. So let us talk. Vayomer Yaakov el Lavan, and Yaakov finally says to Lavan, Hava isishti, give me my wife, ki malu yamai, my days are filled, v'avoyle, and I will come to her. And then we have the wedding, and it's a whole switching, and he wakes up in the morning, and it is Leah. I want to begin with an insight that I have quoted before in the past. I actually quoted it, you know when? if everybody remembers, the first spring of COVID, when Rabbi Schachter started the virtual base medrash. If you remember, the whole week, there was a weekly schedule of virtual base medrash, and I was teaching Sunday mornings. It was a half-hour time slot, so I was teaching Sunday mornings. So I'm going back. Is it almost 3 years? Is this spring going to be 3 years? My gosh. So it was 3 years ago, and one of my first shiurim quoted this insight, because in the beginning, it was a very difficult challenge for everybody. So this first insight you heard 3 years ago, but now we're going to build upon it and add many new insights to it. But it always sticks in my head since the time I first read it. How did Yaakov get through 7 years? Why he suggested 7 years, we have to look into. But Lamaisa, it's a very long time to wait to marry your beloved. It's a very long time to wait for anything. So if you look at the words Kiyamim Achadim, it's translated by art school as a few days. If you look at Unkos, Kiyom, I should have done Unkos before art school. Lahavdil. Kiyom means Ze'irin. Ze'ira is small. Like when there's a small aleph in the Chumash, it'll say aleph ze'ira. Ze'ira in Aramaic means small. So it was like kiyom in ze'irin, like a few days, just a small amount of days. By Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, who was nifter from COVID about 2 years ago, actually, who wrote 90 books, has a tremendous insight. Now, he was brilliant, not only as a psychiatrist and a doctor, but also as a rabbi. I have his Pirkei Avos. I have his Haggadah Shel Pasach. I have Baruch Hashem. I think around 15 of his 90 books and Sfarim. And he offers an insight, and that's what I think I shared on the first Sunday virtual base medrash 3 years ago. Because we didn't know when it was going to end. We didn't know how long we were going to go through it. We didn't know how long the Batei Knesset and Batei Midrashot were going to be closed. I remember coming home from the supermarket and, taking everything off because you were scared, like we didn't know anything. So you would, go straight into the shower. And it was such a surreal period of time. The children were all home. The men were all home. Everything was closed. It was such a frightening, it was a terrifying, terrifying, terrifying time. No one knew anything. So how did we get through it? So this is the first insight I shared. Kiyami Mechadim. The great Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zichrono Levracha, says as follows. I'm quoting from one of his last books that was published right before his death, Growing Up. Growing Up. Several commentaries raise the obvious question. When a person is separated from the one he loves, every day seems like a century. What sense does it make to say that Yaakov loved Rachel, so 7 years passed, like a few days? 7 years is not a few days. 7 years is a very long time. Even if time flies, 7 years is still a long time. If one pays close attention to the text, Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, it does not say a few days. It says yamim achadim. Yamim means days, and achadim, and we always focus on shorashim, always. Achadim is one. How did Yaakov get through 7 years? Because he said, every day I just need to get through one day. Kiyamim achadim. I have to get through today. The success of working with alcoholics, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, is the principle of one day at a time. If you tell an alcoholic he can never drink again, it is futile. The prospect that he could never drink again for his entire life is impossible for him to accept. If you tell him, I'm quoting, just don't drink today. Let's worry about tomorrow. That is acceptable, and he worked with thousands of such people in recovery. Millions of addicts have successfully recovered by living one day at a time. This technique, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, so you understand why I share this. It was, I think, the first, it's on YU Torah, I go back 3 years ago, it's the first virtual-based medrash shiur. Because how did we get through that time period? What we had to say is this is so overwhelming, this is so huge, there's so much unknown, this is so terrifying, focus on today. And I never forget, Bezros Hashem, Hashem should Atah Choneinu Adam Das, forget this insight. It applies to so much in life. Rabbi Dr. Twersky says this technique is not limited to addiction. On the verse in Tehillim, Hayom im Bekolo Tishma'u, the Pasuk says Hayom, we say it Friday night in the Kabbalah Shabbos, Hayom today im Bekolo Tishmu, if you listen to his voice. The Kerem Shlomo, I don't know what to say for that is, Kerem Shlomo comments, The Yetzer Hara tries to make Torah observance very difficult by saying, you will not be able to keep all these restrictions for your entire life. So why bother? You think you're never going to talk Lashon Hara again? It's impossible to never talk Lashon Hara again. So why bother? The response to this is Hayom im Bekolo Sishmu. I just have to get through today and listen to God's voice today. The response to this is, I only have to do today. Tomorrow, I could worry about tomorrow's challenge tomorrow. How could Yaakov endure, concludes Rabbi Dr. Twersky, 7 years, 7 long years of deprivation by applying the method of Yamim Achadim, one day at a time? You have a comment? Everyone's coming up. It's like we're going to have show and tell, all my friends with me.
I texted my daughter, Dr. Yosef Arugula, and she told me that they got married, but he committed to work an extra 7 days.
They got married first?
They got married a week after Leah.
I know. That's...
I'm not a chorus.
No. We're talking about why he proposed. No. He comes to Lavan. He sees Rachel. He loves Rachel. He offers, Lavan says, what's your wage? He says, I'll work for you for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, Lavan tricks him and gives him Leah.
Right.
Then, after the Sheva Brachas, he marries Rachel and then works for 7 more years. My kasha is, why does he propose to work for Lavan for 7 years initially? Lavan says, what's your wage? Say, my wage is $10 a day. My wage is 1 year. Why does he propose an engagement of 7 years?
I'll have to call you later. I'm Zeddy.
This is such a fun class. Okay. Okay. So it's a brilliant insight by Rabbi Dr. Twersky. That's what I shared 3 years ago. I'm now quoting another sefer from Rabbi Dr. Twersky called Simcha, It's Not Just Happiness. Also from Rabbi Dr. Twersky. He quotes the Gemara. It doesn't say where. The Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah, a judgment is issued for every individual for the coming year. We know that. And on Yom Kippur, it's stamped. However, the Gemara also says a person is judged every day. He doesn't quote the two sources where they are in the Gemara. Of course, I trust Rabbi Dr. Twersky, so I couldn't look it up. That's my point. But there's two sources in the Gemara. One says a person is judged for the coming year on Rosh Hashanah. The other source says that every day you're judged. So are you judged every day or are you judged for the coming year on Rosh Hashanah? The Baal Shem Tov students asked him how these apparently conflicting statements could be reconciled. The Baal Shem Tov answered by looking out the window, and they saw Chekel, the water carrier. So the Baal Shem Tov said, Chekel, the water carrier, come here. Chekel come in to the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim. So said the Baal Shem Tov, how are things going, Chekel? He sighed, not good, Rabbi. At my age, I have to slap buckets of water up the hill to make a living. And then back down the hill, I'm old, I'm tired, my parnas is difficult. The Baal Shem Tov wished him well and said goodbye. Several days later, the Baal Shem Tov was sitting with his Talmidim. They saw Chekel carrying buckets of water. How are things, Chekel? Said the Baal Shem Tov. Chekel smiled. Thank God, Rebbe. At my age, I can still slap the buckets of water up the hill. Things are good. The Baal Shem Tov said to his students, that's your answer. On Rosh Hashanah, it was decreed that Chekel would earn his livelihood by carrying and schlepping buckets of water. But how Chekel accepts the judgment varies from day to day. A person passes judgment on himself every day. Many circumstances, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, are not within our control. But it is our choice whether or not to have simcha in that day. So once again, this idea of focusing on today. Hashem sends us the external circumstances. So it was decreed that Chekel should be a water carrier. How Chekel lives each day, and obviously we're talking about ourselves and not Chekel the water carrier, is dependent upon us. How Yaakov got through each day of 7 years is dependent upon a person's attitude. If I just get through today, if I just have simcha today, if I just see the good today, if I just serve the Ribono Shel Olam today, tomorrow, I'll worry about tomorrow. Does anyone have a guarantee of what's going to be tomorrow, or in 1 year, or in 3 years, or in 5 years anyway? But if I could focus on today, That's how a person can get through life successfully and besimcha. And I was thinking to myself that it ties in very much. Hanukkah's coming. And Be'ezor Hashem, so I think it's 2 weeks from Sunday night, yeah? Be'ezor Hashem, shall be well. And we're going to say Hallel for 8 days. And in Hallel, I just looked it up. I think it's chapter 118, verse 42. Zehayom asa Hashem, Nagila v'nisvachabo. That's a very, 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 very important pasuk in Nach, in Ketuvim. Zehayom, what are you saying? Zehayom, this is the day, asa Hashem, that God made, Nagila v'nisvachabo. I must rejoice and be happy in the day that I have today. So Yaakov could have said seven. It's a little bit of a kasha because he proposed a 7 years. So why would he say, how could I get through 7 years? The first question is, why did you propose 7 years? But Lamaisa, let's pretend that question didn't come up. So he had to get through 7 years. So the kasha is, how do you get through 7 years? By saying, I just have to get through things. Let's say somebody, I don't know, wants to eat healthier. So they say, you know, I'm never going to eat a piece of cake again. If you said, that's not me, I'm not taking a neder. No, me neither. That's not what I meant. Let's say somebody else says, I'm never going to do that again. So they might think to themselves, how could I possibly get through that? I'm never going to today. And I just have to focus on today. Vayu be'ein of kiyamim achadim, like days of one, sets of one, ba'ahava osa. How you doing, Chekel, the water carrier? Not so good. How you doing the next day? Gevaldik, everything is wonderful. What does it depend on? How I choose to get through my day. Zeh hayom asa Hashem, nagida v'nishmechabo. The next insight that I want to quote is amazing. I could personally relate to this very, very much. Because this past Monday, today's Thursday, I was waiting for something very important. Personally, something, whatever. And it was a very nerve-wracking time. And for the whole week before Monday, all I could think about was Monday. Besides when I was teaching, Baruch Hashem, because when I'm teaching or learning Torah, my mind's everywhere, and nowhere else but in the Torah. But the minute she would be over, right away I went back to Monday. And all I could think about was Monday. So I wasn't living in Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, because all I was thinking about was, what's going to be on Monday? This just happened. This isn't for teaching purposes. It's not for illustrated purposes. We were, Baruch Hashem, in Toronto for the Thanksgiving weekend, visiting my parents, Shechiu. And I took this sefer with me. Where's Rivka? Faith Over Fear. And I read an insight in here that is so powerful. It was better than the best medicine, which I do not take, Baruch Hashem. And it really helped me very, very much be present in the moment. It's one of the most powerful ideas, and I kept repeating it. The whole Shabbos, I was saying it to my husband. I think he thought I was a little nuts. But he, Baruch Hashem, is able to live in the moment. He wasn't so worried about Monday, whereas all I could think about was Monday. What's going to be on Monday? What's going to be on Monday? Hashem knows what's going to be on Monday. He gave you Friday. Worry about Friday on Friday. Worry about Monday on Monday. Kiyamim achadim ba'ahavasa also. I want to quote an unbelievable insight from Faith Over Fear, which is given to me by my friend Rivka Krischer. This is based on the teachings of the Alter Minavardak. It's compiled by Rav Yehuda Kielsen, based on the Vadim of Rav Per, Rav Yechiel Yitzchak Per, based on the teachings of the Alter Minavardak. And he's talking about bitachon, which is trust in Hashem. The Alter Minavardak emphasizes that a person who has already achieved bitachon must seize his bitachon tightly and not weaken his grip, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how heavy the buckets of water are, no matter how long 7 years is, no matter what appointment is coming on Monday, you have to seize your bitachon tightly and not weaken your grip, no matter the circumstances. He must not lessen his madrega, it's much easier said than done, even the slightest bit. The journey towards becoming a baal bitachon, a person who trusts, who lives with trust of God, does not end once a person achieves it. He must keep working on maintaining his bitachon. Rabbeinu Avram ben Rambam makes this point about the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the desert. Since they inhabited the realm of bitachon, their decision to send spies to the land of Israel indicated that they slipped. It was a slip for them. They lived with food and water provided directly from heaven. Yet they wanted to send spies to begin their invasion instead of trusting on God. Despite their lofty bitachon, they fell due to their fear of the looming combat. The Altar of Novardach made the following compelling observation. Look at my book. Could you see it has parentheses and pink highlighter? That's for me, not for you. I'm going to say it twice without interrupting. You have to pay attention. And then we're going to explain it. The whole Sefer is worth it for this line. It is worthwhile to give away all your tomorrows for one today. Because otherwise you will find you have given away all your todays for one tomorrow. I'm going to repeat it. I consider a sign from the Rebbe Sholem that mamash when I was going through this week, this is what I read. Because I really needed to hear this. It is worthwhile to give away, if you came to Shir only to hear this, forget Achai and Chaykal and Yamim Achadim and everything else. It is worthwhile to give away all your tomorrows for one today. Because otherwise you will find you have given away all your todays for one tomorrow. Okay, now let's use my not mashal real life example. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. All I'm living for is Monday. What about living for that for Tuesday before? There are mitzvahs to do. There are tefillos to be said. There are shiurim to teach. There's laundry for my family. There should be food in the house. Those are all mitzvahs. There's kapitach tehillim to say. What about that? I was doing everything, but my mind was only on Monday. I was doing everything I had to do, but my mind was only on Monday. So what was happening was that I wasn't living in Tuesday, even though I was physically. Do you understand? I was present. I was davening at my tilm, at my shirim, and the only time my mind was off of Monday was during my shirim, because during my davening, I was only thinking about Monday. You look confused. Does it make sense?
No, I'm trying to write it down, but it's too fast.
I'm not going to call up somebody else. What did she say?
I want to write it down, but you're going too quickly.
I'm going quickly? I know, I'm asking if I'm going too quickly. Okay. That's why we have Wayu Torah. You could pause. So I said to myself, Michal, you don't even know if you're going to be alive on Monday. I really told myself this. Maybe you won't be alive on Monday. And then you're going to get up to Olam HaEmes, and God's going to say by the Din V'Cheshbon, why were you worrying so much about Monday? You're not even here on Monday. But you miss Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Erev Shabbos and Shabbos for worrying about something that's in my control anyway, not in your control. It doesn't mean you should throw away your calendar app. It doesn't mean you shouldn't make plans. It doesn't mean you shouldn't make doctor's appointments. It doesn't mean you shouldn't plan on winter vacation to take a little break. That's not what it means. Of course we live here. We have to plan something for the future. But you can't live in the future today. Zeh hayom, I'm not giving you mussar. This is real. This is not a mashal. It's not a made-up story. Zeh hayom asah Hashem. You could ask my husband. I was so worried about Monday. That's all I was thinking about. Zeh hayom asah Hashem nagila v'nismicha. Not on Monday, nagila v'nismicha, bo. You could be so worried about what's coming that you forget to live in the gift of time, which is today. Time, the day, is the most precious commodity. So many gedolim speak about it. The Klosterberger in his biography, Rav Pam in his biography, Rav Salvechik, Zecher Tzadikim Kedoshim, the Bracha, all talk about the power of the day. It is the most precious gift that we have. But if you waste today thinking about tomorrow, because you can't control tomorrow, God controls tomorrow. You don't even know if you're even going to be here tomorrow, because only the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that. So if God gave me today, that's the biggest matana that there is. So how did Yaakov get through 7 years? Don't think what's going to be in 7 years. Only Hashem knows what's going to be in 7 years. You woke up today. So the altar made. Now listen again to the words of the altar Minavardak. It is worthwhile to give away all your tomorrows for one today. All your thinking, when's the vacation going to come? When am I going to graduate? When am I going to get a job? When is the wedding going to be? When will, I don't know, I go to Israel next? When will I win the lottery? Just fill in the blanks. You're so worried about what's going to be tomorrow, you forget about today. It is worthwhile, said the altar minavarduk, to give away all your tomorrows for one today. Because you will find if you do not, you have given away all your todays for one tomorrow. That's how I was living last week. I was giving away every today for one tomorrow. It's foolish. It's a waste of the matana that Ribbono Shel'olam gave me. I think it's tremendous hashkacha that I read this specifically during that time. Because it's a huge chizuk. And it's also so interesting that it's mamash parshas vayetze. Because I taught this for the first time 3 years ago. That first piece by Yamim Achadem, Rabbi Dr. Tursky, is what I taught 3 years ago. And I think about it all the time, especially by this parsha. And this idea relates to it exactly. Don't live today for tomorrow. Live today for today. Tomorrow you deal with tomorrow. Continues the Sefer Faith Over Fear, the Vadim of Rav Yechiel Yitzchak Per, compiled by Rabbi Yehuda Kilson. As a result of a person's maneuverings and strategies, days and decades go by where he never lives in or for the present. The Altar Minavarduk admonishes us, forget about tomorrow. Again, practically, that's not what it means. You understand, I made it clear. Make your appointments, make your vacations, plan when, you know, your kid's going to college or whatever it's going to be. I understand, you do need to make some sort of plan. But don't become obsessed with tomorrow that you forget about today. Forget about all of the tomorrows, exclamation mark. If you have the Sefer and you want to know where I'm quoting from, Faith Over Fear, Today Versus Tomorrow, page 103 through 105. Forget about all the tomorrows. Live for today. Quote, accomplish something of intrinsic value today, italicized. Accomplish something, it's of intrinsic value to dress like a frumyid today. It's of intrinsic value to daven shachris today. It's of intrinsic value to love my children and encourage them today. Accomplish something of intrinsic value today, italicized. If the payout for all your present actions is some future time, and you're missing out. It is foolish to trade all your concrete present potential in the favor of promises about the future. Now, I remember when my kids were little, one time the pediatrician, Dr. Abraham Green, he said a line that stuck in my head, and it has a lesson in Avodas Hashem, even though I don't think he meant it in Avodas Hashem. When you leave my office, he said, you have a 15-minute guarantee. So if I tell you your kid doesn't have an ear infection, that's good for 15 minutes. If I tell you doesn't have strep throat, it's good for 15 minutes. If I tell you doesn't have the flu, it's good for 15 minutes. That's life. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam can guarantee. We don't see the future, but I do see that I'm alive today. If your payout for all your present actions is some future time, then you're missing out. It is foolish to trade all of your concrete present potential in favor of promises about the future. Chazal say, a person does not die having satisfied even half of his desires. A person can live to 100, and at his death he'll still be dissatisfied. In the history of the world, no man has ever satiated with life's pleasures. One of the most basic laws of economics is that humans want unlimited. Of course, a person worries about his children. I'm skipping. I'm not reading everything on these three pages or take too long. Of course, a person worries about his children. But you must control your worries with a rational and steady hand of bitachon, trust in God. Have bitachon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't abandon your children when you're gone. It is irrational to throw away all the days of your life for the future of your children because that... You should invest in chinuch, you should put away savings for them, you should help them. It doesn't mean, you know, go, please don't leave shir and say, I'm only going to live for today. That's not what I mean. I hope nobody thinks that I mean that. But at least hashkafically, emotionally, psychologically, grab the gift that's today. It is irrational to throw away all the days of your life to protect for the future. Why? Can't protect the future anyway. You cannot protect them forever, nor is it even good or healthy to do so. The struggle of life that your children will face is an important and basic element into growing up as a good and upright person. Don't try and smooth everything out. Don't take it away from them. Let them live their lives and you live yours. The Yetzer Hara convinces a person to worry excessively about the future. I know, is it all Jewish mothers and women or just Michal Horowitz? The Yetzer Hara convinces a person to worry excessively about the future in order to deceive him into willingly part with today. It's so powerful. It's such a chizuk. Yes, he loved her very much. Yes, he wanted to marry her. Why he proposed 7 years, I don't know, but he wants to marry her. So how are you going to get through such a long nisaya? Every day you say, today is one day. How are you doing, Cheiko, the water carrier? Oi, how are you doing? Baruch Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah, it's determined what will happen to you. Every day you judge yourself about how you carry out every day in that day. Satan, how do you say this word like they were doing with gas during COVID? Siphon? Yeah? S-I-P-H-O-N. Satan wants to siphon off our lives in exchange for madness. Madness clothed in noble sentiments. What better way to fool people into surrendering their lives than by recruiting their conscience and promising them a pious outcome? No one could promise you any outcome. So why give up today for tomorrow? The Baal Bitachon responds to the Yetzer Hara with Bitachon. He has Bitachon for the future and for his children's future. Quote, stop worrying for yourself! Exclamation mark. Sit down with a Gemara and learn a little bit. Grab some Olam Haza and Olam Haba while you can. I'm going to repeat it one more time and then go to our next source. It is worthwhile to give away all your tomorrows for one today, because otherwise you will find you have given away all your todays for one tomorrow. I don't know if anyone can relate to what I'm speaking about, if you've ever had this experience like I had, where you are so apprehensive and concerned and wondering, and I need to know what's going to happen tomorrow. That while we go through the motions of living in today, we're not really living in today. And Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Shaba Avos, the choices of the patriarchs, the father of the Shiftei Ka, the Ish Emes, the Yoshev Tam, Yoshev Ohalim, teaches us one of the most fundamental principles in Avodas Hashem. The secret to success as an Eved Hashem is grabbing onto the gift of today. 7 years, I'll worry about that in 7 years. I want to go to a piece by Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. It was on the Bima. I see there are still some sitting there. I'm now quoting from the Sefer Abraham's Journey. I see you in the corner of the Bima. If anyone doesn't have, there aren't handouts still. Abraham's Journey. We're going to begin at the bottom of page, the first page. It's page 37. We'll begin at the bottom. I want to now propose another pshat to Kiyamim Achadim. Okay, that was the whole first part of Shir. And now I want to propose a slightly different pshat, a different pshat into this meaning of Yamim Achadim. What does it mean that Yaakov, don't forget what we said, but just let's put it aside. Not let's put it aside. Let's internalize it and live with it. Now a different pshat. What does it mean that Yaakov got through 7 years Kiyamim Achadim? Let's go to a piece by the Rav. He is not speaking about Yaakov Avinu. He's speaking about Avram, who was Yaakov's grandfather. We will at the end tie it in. It's a very deep and very profound piece. Bottom of page 37. A central motif in Judaism emerged with the life story of Abraham. God does not redeem the world or the covenantal community. Rav Salvechik often refers to Knesset Yisrael as the covenantal community. Why? Because Hashem made a bris with Avram. So we are the community of the covenant, okay? God does not redeem the world or the covenantal community all by himself. No, God doesn't bring Geula by himself. Who brings Geula along with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Well, think about it even before we go to the Rav. Who brought Geula in Egypt? Yes, Hashem, but there was a Shaliach. There was Moshe and Aaron. Who brought the Geula in the time of Purim? Mordechai and Esther. Yes, it was Hashem, but there was a Shaliach. Who brought the Geula in the time of Hanukkah, the Yevanim against the Yevanim, the Syrian Greeks? The Maccabim. So there is always a shaliach who works with the Ribon Shalom, Kaviyachal, to effect redemption. God does not redeem the world or the covenantal community all by himself. We have an important task to play. He uses man to perform the great messianic miracle of liberation. Moshe and Aaron performed the great messianic miracle of liberation. Haman against Haman and Achashverosh. Esther and Mordechai were the shlichim. Against the Yevanim, the Maccabim were. God works with instruments. Man is an instrument in the hand of God. Of course, says the Rav, we all know, very bottom of page 37, the whole universe is an instrument in the hands of God, who created the world, in order to realize his inscrutable will through his creatures. God's will be done through his creatures. However, the most effective tool that God has for effecting redemption is man, us. Through our Torah, our mitzvahs, our tikkun amidos, our learning, our self-improvement, we affect redemption with God. Man has his paradoxical characteristics. On the one hand, we're humble. On the other hand, we're haughty. On the one hand, we're kind. On the other hand, we're mean. On the one hand, we are of broad eye. On the other hand, we're of stingy eye. Man is a paradox. And we have dialectical nature. But nevertheless, God appoints man as his plenipotentiary, his agent, his shaliach. God, the Rav says, while non-intelligent matter functions mechanically, a rock, a tree, the planets, a rainbow, they function mechanically. God put them into teva. They have a function, but they're like doing what they're supposed to do without thought. On the other hand, man acts willfully, intelligently, and freely. We have da'as, bina, seichel, we have bechira chafshis. We are not a rock in the field. We choose how to act. Dead, non-intelligent matter cannot choose to be obedient or to rebel. A goldfish cannot choose to be obedient or to rebel. It's not the fault of the goldfish. Atah Hashem made it. Whereas man can choose. Since man can refuse to collaborate with the Almighty, you bechira chafshis, you could refuse to collaborate with the Almighty. You could leave here and go to McDonald's. You could. I'm not saying anyone here would, but you could. Man can refuse, but if he chooses to cooperate, it is more than welcome. Second paragraph on page 38. When God chooses man, he prefers the individual to the multitude, the yachid. How many Jews lived in the time of Esther and Mordechai? Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. We know 18,500 Jews alone, Medrash Rabbah, went to the party. There were many, many, many Jews. Rav Salvechik has an essay on this. How many names do you know of all those tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Jews? Zero. Who do you know the agents that God chose? Mordechai and Esther. God does not select a group of individuals. Instead, he pulls someone out of the multitude. And he tells that someone, you are my messenger, a Moshe and Aaron. A few names you know from the Egyptians, otherwise from the Yidden when they were in Egypt. The masses, we don't know their names. The recruitment of sympathizers and friends is the task of the elected individual. So it was the task of the Maccabim to rouse people to join them. It was the task of Mordechai to go through the streets, Vayetzi b'socha'ir, Esther 4:1, Vayizak za'aka g'dolmar, he told people to daven along with him. It's the task of the shaliach to have other people join. This is to demonstrate the individual is a microcosm. Every individual is a miniature world. And every individual is provided with talents and capabilities. Capacities. Why did I say capabilities? Because Rabbi Zev Lefs says talents, abilities, and capabilities, which is very similar to what the Rav is saying. Every single person has natural talents, necessary capacities, talents, abilities, and capabilities. It is our tafkid, whatever God chose us for, and then we recruit other people along the way. Judaism believes the individual has universal potential. Every person is a whole world. Sanhedrin 37a, kol matzil nefesh echas b'Yisrael, kilu hitzu olam mali. So every individual is an entire world. Every individual is a creator, a fashioner, an artist who breathes life into the dead, into the cohesive multitude. The individual can spiritually mold the souls and minds of many. That's what Avram and Sarah did. Bereishis 12:5 with Rashi, Nefesh asher asu b'charon. Avram megayer es hanashim, v'sarah megayer es hanashim. an individual can spiritually, remember he's talking about Avram as the basis for this. Every individual can spiritually mold the soul and the mind of the many. God wants the agent not only to deliver the message. It's not only that Avram should deliver a message. It's not only that Moshe should deliver a message. They should be the co-redeemer. That shaliach becomes a fellow creator with the Ribono Shel Olam. This is true of the election of lonely Avram. Avram was Avram HaIvri, Shabbat Me'ivar Anar. He was all by himself. The whole world was against him, but he had a vision. He was a creator. He was an initiator. This is true of the election of the lonely Avram. He was segregated from the rest of the world, as well as Moshe, who remained lonely all of his life. After all, the Almighty himself is the lonely one, capital L, capital O. His existence is exclusive. God's existence negates everything else. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkeinu Hashem, Echad. There is only one. Nothing else exists besides him. God's loneliness is transferred to God's Shaliach. God is a lonely being, not in the sense of English understanding of lonely. He is an alone being. Ein or milvado. Echad. He transfers that achdus, that oneness, to his Shaliach. The Shaliach is meant to effect redemption along with God. Just like God is one, the individual is one. Moshe was a yachid. Avram was a yachid. Why do I keep saying Haman? Esther and Achashverosh were yachidim. You don't know the names. You know the names of the Maccabim. You don't. Yehuda, Maccabi, Yonatan, Yochanan, the other, all the people who joined their army, you don't know their names. I would go a step further, says the Rav, and say every single individual shares in this loneliness. Now, we're not only talking about the Shlichim, bottom of page 38, we're talking about every single one of us. Every individual shares in the loneliness of God. Why? Because we all have to follow in the footsteps of our Maker. Everyone has to go in God's ways. If God acts as a yachid, an individual, a solitary being, we are all appointed with an individualized, solitary task. Every single person. A human being should experience loneliness. Look at this. By making sure not to absolutize his bonds with others. Whew! The bond with every other human being can be severed. Only the bond with God cannot be severed. You should not absolutize your bonds with others, even if they're their most intimate friends or members of your household. Furthermore, there is no prayer without experiencing loneliness. When we pray, we realize how alone we are. It is just me, finite loneliness, with infinite alone. One should be ready when summoned by history to oppose or to reject the status quo. Today we live in a cancel culture. Be it cultural or social or political. I was smiling because if you remember, we spoke much about Hineni. To answer in the affirmative, Hineni, here I am. Every individual should possess the strength to pitch his tent on one bank of the river, Avram HaIvri, while society lives on the other side. Maimonides wrote that the world moved in this fashion until Avram was born. Skip a sentence, just because we don't have time. Apparently, it was immediately with Abraham's birth that the world stopped rushing into the abyss. The significance of Abraham's birth consists in the certitude that the greatness in a human being cannot be suppressed. The greatness in every human being cannot be destroyed. No matter how fiendish the circumstances, I want you to think here in these next sentences of Yaakov Avinu. We're talking about Yamim Achadim. The Rav here is speaking about the power of every Echad. God is Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad, and every Echad, every person, finite one, must realize his tafkid in emulating God. Let's look at the next sentences, thinking of Yaakov working by Lavan. No matter how fiendish the circumstances, no matter how corrupt and wicked society may be, genuine holiness and greatness eventually triumph over satanic opposition. That's Yaakov Avinu. That's the life of Yaakov Avinu. Once Abraham was born, it was quite certain that he, Abraham, and I'm going to say his descendants, would redeem the world. The expectation on the part of Providence was that the great courageous spirit which enters into the frail body, would defy and defeat the power of pagan tyranny. That's not only Yaakov. It's not only Avram. It's Yaakov as well. That there is a great and courageous spirit which enters into the frail human body. We're weak. We're finite. Do I know it's going to be a Monday? Stop worrying about Monday. Live Tuesday, Tuesday. Wednesday, Wednesday. You're frail. You're finite. You're here today, gone tomorrow. And yet that same frail body partners with God. That same frail, lonely man can defy and defeat the power of pagan tyranny. Nothing, skip to the last couple sentences, nothing can prevent the sun from climbing higher and higher in the sky. Nobody can stop the sun, the tzaddik, the righteous one, from radiating heat and light. In a similar fashion, no society, last sentence, can stop the development and continuous growth of the teeny infant endowed with greatness. Avram was endowed with greatness and no one could stop him. He recognized God was one. Avram brought monotheism to the world. He recognized that he was one and he was a partner with God to fulfill his tafkid. And you could say the exact same thing about Yaakov Avinu. He went to work by Lavan Harami. Every time it mentions Lavan practically, it says he's Harami. He switched his wives. He switched his wages. He wanted to steal his animals. He didn't want to let him go. Rav Soloveitchik says in a totally different piece in the essay Festivals of Freedom, the hatred of Lavan proves that the hatred of the Jew can reach psychopathic proportions. We forget who Lavan was. Harami oved avi vayeru mitzrayim. Lavan bikesh la'akor sakol. But Yaakov recognized that he was the Echad, representing the Echad. And that's how a person fulfills his tafkid here. God endowed each of us with a unique tafkid, a unique role. We're not all the same. We're all different. We're all Yidden. We're all the Bnei Hashem. We're all part of the Bnei Yisrael. But every single person in this room and on the Zoom has a unique tafkid. When you recognize your achdus, your oneness, that's when a person can fulfill their role. By emulating the oneness of the Ribono Shel Olam. And then we can partner with the oneness of God, Shema Yisrael, Hashem HaKadosh Hashem, Echad, to bring the world to fruition. How is Yaakov Avinu able to fulfill not only those 7 years, but the 20 years by Lavan? The hard work, the slave labor, the trickery of the wives and the wages, trying to steal his flocks. How did he do it? He recognized Achadim. That Am Yisrael is unique and one, the Ribono Shel Olam is unique and one, and I, Yaakov Avinu, am unique and one. I have an individualized tafkid to birth the Shvatim, to pass on the Mesorah, to continue the path of my grandfather, Avram Avinu. Only when every person recognizes his singularity, his distinction, his unique gifts and capabilities and capacities, and uses that distinction and singularity to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, then we bring the world closer to its ultimate destiny by partnering with the uniqueness of God. Ki yamim, every day Yaakov said, achadim, I recognize my uniqueness. Like the Rav says, you shouldn't be afraid to speak up against the status quo. Yaakov wasn't afraid to speak up against the status quo. At the end of the Sedra, he blasts Lavan. What did I do to you? Why are you chasing after me? Why did you switch my ways? I've only been honest. When a person recognizes their uniqueness, the tafkid God gave them specifically, he or she, and you go in the ways of Hashem who is Echad, we become partners with the Ribono Shel Olam to effect redemption. Ki yamim, every day Yaakov said, achadim. I am unique. The Ribono Shel Olam is unique. There is one God, one Knesset Yisrael, one Torah. And with that attitude, we bring the world to fruition and fulfillment. I can't say you should only remember one thing, but you could go back to YU Torah and pause to take notes. But really, Dvarim HaYotzim Min HaLev Nichnasim El HaLev. These two words in Chumash contain so much Musar Haskel, so much Chizuk, and so much importance, every word of Chumash. But there's so much we could have practically applied to our lives. I could be Chekel, the water carrier who's kvetching and crying, and I could be Chekel, the water carrier who's saying Baruch Hashem and a Mizmor L'Soda. If I'm a water carrier, that's up to God. How I'm a water carrier every day, that's up to me. Vayu be'enav kiyamim achadim ba'ahavaso oso. Says the Altar Mino Vardak. I memorized it. And it helped me. I want you to know something. It mamish helped me. I'm not joking. I had a real Baruch Hashem total change, and I felt my heart come down. My insides were calmer. I was able to enjoy better Shabbos. It is worthwhile to give up all your tomorrows for one today, because if you do not, you will find you have given up all your todays for one tomorrow. Thank you, everybody. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Be'ezrat Hashem, I will see you next week. Kol Tov. Thank you to all.